You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. I've got another awesome guest, and we were just chatting a little bit, and it's like I've known her forever. I mean, isn't that strange how voices connect? But anyways, I just want to share some things with you. The new issue of the magazine is up. MysticLivingToday.com is up. It's really big. As a matter of fact, I think I have one more thing to put in today. It's got a lot of beautiful stuff. I have some work from an artist, poetry from somebody in China, somebody in India, in Japan. I mean, we are international in the magazine. They're from everywhere. And that's what's great about it. You know, it's a lot of, you get to meet a lot of people. I had this man who's in China. You know, he would write in Chinese below what he would send to me. And I'm thinking, well, does he really think I can read this? So finally one day I wrote him. I said, do you think you could do my name in Chinese? Within 5 minutes, I had my name in Chinese. And, you know, it's all these little sticks, you know, these lines that go this way and that way. The sweetest thing. They're all really great. All of them are great from all over the world. But anyways, so the magazine is up. And around the 20th, I send out another, reminder to everybody about the new issue coming up. And everybody knows I really soar when I do the magazine. I really do. I mean, I in the beginning, I thought, oh, my God, I got to do this. But that was many years ago, 1999, I started it. And I didn't want to do it. But, you know, now I can't see me not doing it. It's just so precious. And then stars with a Z, psychics.com. We're getting busier. We've got about the same readers. I mean, people are always wanting to come back, but, you know, I don't like to bring in people unless I have an overflow of clients and I'm honest with them. I mean, I could put them up there, but that's using somebody, and I won't do that. You know, Natalie doesn't do that kind of stuff. So, but I keep them in mind, and I've got lots of applications, so I'm watching. The site, a magazine was down on Saturday, and, well, they all went down. I was pulling my hair out because that's when I was starting to do the e-zine, to do the magazine online. And, of course, I had a whole day when I couldn't even do anything. And we all know that must not have sat well with me. No, it didn't, because I was like, oh, you got to fix this, you know. But anyways, it got back up, all good. And hopefully it'll stay the way it is and not give me any issues. But I have a really nice guest tonight. She told me she listened to one of the shows. Isn't that wonderful? Then I was saying to her that I like people to listen to them. That's why I always send the link, because sometimes, you know, somebody might not want to be on my show. And I understand that, but you know me, everybody. I go at warp speed. I can out-talk everybody, I think, anyhow. But anyways, I'm going to bring in my beautiful guest tonight. And her name is Dr. Susan Plunkett, and I don't know if we're going to call her doctor. I kind of doubt it. I just call her Susan. She's an author, a fantasy fiction writer, and she's a licensed clinical psychologist in private practice in Greenwich Village. Isn't that sweet? Oh, I want to hear about Greenwich Village. Isn't that where they weren't hippies, but what were they? I'll ask her about it. But anyways, let's bring her in. Hi, Susan. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Natalie. I'm doing great. Happy to be with you and all your listeners.
Oh, yeah. And you know, too, Susan, a lot of times people will listen after the show. I mean, you know, I send links. And anybody, you know, like, for one, your publicist is Gavin. And so I'll send him a link. I mean, he put up everything. I think it was today or yesterday from O-Books. Just everything that I put. He sent me 5 articles. He sent me you. And he sends me so many people. It's unreal.
And, he's adorable.
He really is.
My guy sitting over there in Wales, doing his thing.
Did you ever meet him? Did you go there?
No, I haven't been there yet. I would love to go. I Zoom with him. You know, we talk about the books, and we talk about publicity, and we talk about our lives. I mean, he's just an adorable human being with the cutest Welsh accent.
Life. Every one of his emails, I mean, you probably get him to, oh, Natalie, you're such a star. And I said, Gavin, you don't have to call me a star. I'm not a star. And then he'll write back, oh, yes, you are. You want to argue?
I know. He's the cutest.
You can tell what kind of a gentleman he is. And you always said, be safe now. Make sure that you're taking good care of yourself. I wrote him back, and this time I said, yeah, because you don't want me to get sick, because then I can't do all these people.
I know. And, I mean, he worked. He supports all of us, and then he wrote his own book, this wonderful book called Harvest.
And we did a review on
that
one. I haven't had him on the air, but I really should. He would be a delight. I'm glad you said something about that, because I will mention it to him tomorrow, because I will tell him what a wonderful chat we had. I always write, whoever sends me the author, I always write them the next day and send them the link and all that kind of good stuff. But anyway, let's get started with you. Now, a fantasy fiction writer. Now, how did you start doing this? What happened? I mean, did you do a lot of this in your head when you were a little girl? I always like to ask because, you know, we all remember what we're like when we were in school. Some of us doodled, some of us, whatever, practiced writing. Well, I tried to practice writing, and I've said this before. Finally, my teacher, I don't know what grade, whenever you learn handwriting, she came to me and she said, I don't know why I always tell you to write a certain way. And I looked at her funny. She said, do you know why? And I said, yeah. She says, because you write it your own way anyhow. And she said, and she leaned over and she said, I talked to my husband about this, and she said to me, but the whole thing of it is that you write such a, you have a pretty handwriting. It's beautiful. It's flared. You know how you have this space, and it's halfway. Well, the lowercase is halfway, and the uppercase is the full length of that line.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just flared away. I mean, I had a good time. Yes. Yeah, so she just let me write however I wanted. She said, I cannot stop you from using your creativity. She said, I just cannot.
Well, you had a very enlightened teacher. That is so wonderful.
Well, you know, really, it's funny. I didn't, I don't know. She just loved me, that's all. You know, every once in a while, you run across a teacher. We went to her house. My girlfriend and I went to her house one time. And she married a Greek man. And,
I like Greek men.
Yeah.
I had a
her name ended up being Dopolis. And but it was funny. I got to tell you this quick story. We're in the, I guess probably it was second grade I had her or something. Well, Friday her name was Miss Horish. Well, she comes back in on Monday. And she writes her name on the board. And, you know, half of these kids didn't even know nothing from nothing. But I did. And I sat there and I thought, I wonder what happened. She changed her name.
Yeah.
And then somebody, I think, during the week asked her. And she says, well, I better make the announcement. I got married over the weekend. We knew something happened, right? She changed her name.
Yes. That happened to my first grade teacher. She was Miss McGinnis, and she became Mrs. Dennis one weekend. But she wasn't quite as enlightened as your teacher, because I doodled, and I looked out the window a lot. And
she didn't like
it? She didn't like it, and she picked up my desk, and she moved it to the bulletin board side of the room and pushed me up against the bulletin board, which was okay. But then she would come by, you know, walk up and down the rows between our little tiny desks and our little tiny chairs and look over our work. And, of course, my work often wasn't done because I was a dreamer. And so she would say, you know, like, what are you doing? What are you thinking about? And why aren't you working? And I said, well,
certainly not this class.
I said, well, I was thinking, what are we all doing here on Earth? What are we all doing here? And that's when she shocked me. She said, aren't you Catholic? And I said, yeah, but I didn't understand what that had to do with it. I didn't understand how that could have answered the question. Like, Where did we come from? What are we doing here, and where are we going? I was in first grade. That's what I wanted to learn. And I think I have spent my whole life trying to answer that question for myself. And that's what my books are about. That's what this trilogy is about. What are we doing here? Where did we come from? Where are we going?
Right.
So
that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, well, she wasn't like my teacher. I mean, she didn't allow you to do what I was allowed to do.
Because she
leaned over and whispered. She said, I'm going to just let you do what you want. And it happened again to me when I had another teacher. We had, it was like a lit class, literature. And, you know, we always had to read books and do a book report. Oh, well, I hated that. I would rather just read it and tell you what I read, you know?
Yeah.
Well, she figured it out, too. I didn't have Mrs. Dopoulos. I had another teacher right after her. That's the one. And I went up to the desk, and I said, you know, she's probably thinking, what is she going to tell me now? You know, I really don't like doing book reports.
Aww.
And she said, I said, why don't you just have us stand up in the front of the room, which is scary, and talk about the book? And she said, oh, I don't think the rest of them would do that. I said, I will. She said, well, I know you will. And so she said, tell you what I'm going to do. You read this book. It was a big, thick, blue, light blue book. I don't even remember. It wasn't Hiawatha. It was something else, because I was reading all that, you know. And she said, you read the book, and when you're ready, you come up and tell me what the book is about. That'll be your book report. I looked at her. I said, really? She said, yeah, anybody that could come up and ask and suggest this to me has to know what they're doing.
Wow.
You wouldn't have said
you lucked out in the teacher department.
Oh, I did. I did. But then, you know, I had one teacher put me in the closet because I was laughing, in the broom closet.
Oh, yeah, laughing is bad. We can't.
Oh, yeah, laughing was bad
joyful.
Because I made everybody else laugh, and I really, the whole room wasn't in hysterics, but she just, her name was Mrs. D. Liverne, and she just, her and I did not hit it off. She was too... She wasn't kind of like sweet and kind. She probably was, but classroom, I'm a stern teacher. And couldn't do anything with her to make her laugh or smile or whatever. So I went in the closet. And then there's another time I went in the eighth grade. He was our history teacher. And we were all talking. And he said, now, class, you have to be quiet. Well, I was just turning around to say something. He grabbed my whole desk, which the seat was attached, you know, and he dragged me into the hall.
Oh.
Now, listen to this, because we were laughing, and he says, you're going to sit out here. And I sat up in my chair, and he left the door open. I thought to myself, okay, this is good. I'm not upset. I didn't cry. Well, he went back in the room, and all the kids were laughing, and I was laughing out in the hall. He came back out to me, and he said, I don't know why I have you in this hall. I said, well, you said I was laughing. I know, he said. Come on, get back in the room. Because the whole class was laughing. I mean, it wasn't just me.
Yeah.
So I had several teachers that were really nice, you know.
Yeah.
Especially Mrs. Horsch, Mrs. Dopoulos, the one that let me do my loopy handwriting.
Right.
So, yeah, and I still do it.
She got
Isn't
it.
That amazing?
We have to
how
be,
you,
we're unique.
How
be.
You are, it starts you off. You know, I mean, it really, really does start you off. Either you're going to be really creative and kind of fly, or you're going to be, and I don't want to say a bookworm, or you're going to be doing a little robot exactly like they're doing, which is fine. You need, like they want you to, which is fine in class. I mean, you can do anything now. I mean, my granddaughter's on her computer doing her virtual stuff. She's loving life.
Good for her.
She loves it.
We all should be loving life. Teachers, students, everyone. That's what we came here to do.
She's in the 11th grade. And she said, I don't want to go back to school. I said, why? She says, because it's too stressful for me. She says, there's so many losers there.
Whoa.
She
said,
she must be an introvert. Not. She's got a 5.9. She's not a loser. And she's doing really, really well. And she said, you know, they're just all... It's all laughter and fun, She says, I have fun, but I don't need to be around them. They're distracting to me.
Wow,
she said, it's
she's
just
a
way too
serious
stressful.
Person.
Well, not with me, she's not, but she is as far as school is. Yeah, she's just like
yeah.
I am. She's real spiritual. But anyways, okay, so you get out of school, Susan, and then what happens? When did you get the site? Did you start your creative work then? How did you start writing?
Well, I started writing late in life. I had already been a psychologist in private practice in Greenwich Village for about 25 years when I started writing, because I only started writing about 5 years ago when a psychic, well, in 2010, a psychic that I saw because of a breakup of my marriage said, you know, you're a channel, and you should be channeling, because there are beings who believe that they sent you here to be a scribe, and you should be writing.
Mm.
But in 2010, I was afraid, because I didn't know who or what would come through, so I
exactly.
was resistant. So then 5 years went by, and in 2015, another psychic in Minnesota said to me over the phone, Susan, it's way below zero here in Minnesota, and I'm burning up because your guides and my guides are telling you, tell her to get on with it. She has delayed way too long. There's information to come through. It will be a trilogy. She needs to write it. She needs to share these ideas with humans
mm-hmm.
about how much they are loved, how much they are loved, how the happiness of everyone is in the long run absolutely assured, and we will give her all the information. She doesn't have to worry about it. She doesn't have to say, I'm not a writer. She's just a scribe. If she will sit down at the computer, it will come through her. And so
like automatic, it was like automatic writing then, right?
It was a little bit, it's not quite automatic writing, because I see pictures, and
okay.
then I
oh,
write
good.
What I
awesome.
See. And
yep.
occasionally I hear words, like if I write a certain thing and they correct it, they'll change the words to make it clear or something, and then I just give in to whatever they say, because I feel like they're coming from a higher dimension, and they have a message for all of us, for me and everybody who reads the books, about what's happening on Earth now, the changes that are going on, how Earth herself is moving into the fourth dimension, and how humans are moving in, and how it's much easier dimension to live in than the third, where we are right now, because
mm-hmm.
it's the dimension of unity and the duality of the third dimension is really hard. Love and hate, rich and poor, high and low, old and young, right and wrong. It's a painful dimension. But the fourth dimension is where we all come together, and we all understand that we're part of the oneness, that every single being, and I'm including dogs and trees and rocks and every kind of animal, we're all part of one giant consciousness. We're all part of the oneness of the divine, which means we are all God. We are
mm-hmm.
all divine. And that's the message they wanted me to give. Of course, it sounds like I could say it in one sentence. We're all divine and all part of the oneness. But I'm using three books to say it, because they told me it should be a story, because people like to hear stories. They don't
want
to hear fact, 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 fact.
No. Nope.
So make it a story. So I made it into a story about eight different beings, which are four pair of twin flames who incarnate on Earth, and they're called wanderers. The book is called The Wanderers on Earth, because the wanderers are beings who volunteer to leave their higher dimension, say the fifth dimension, and change their vibration and incarnate as humans, incarnating as human infants. And, of course, that means you pass through the veil of forgetting, like we all did, so we don't remember our past lives. We don't
right.
remember our lives on other planets or on this planet. So they have to risk never waking up. They volunteer, they're born, pass through the veil of forgetting, forget who they are born as human infants, think that they're just regular humans in the third dimension, and their challenge is to wake up, remember that they're here on a mission, and then share that information with all of humans. And what I've been told by this council that channels to me is that there are 80 million wanderers incarnate on Earth now. And you can recognize a wanderer because they speak of love and they speak of how
yep.
we're all connected. And they're in service to others because they understand that the way to raise your vibration and move into the fourth dimension is the path of service to others. You can grow by service to self, but that's on the dark path. And you can advance up to a point on the dark path by being only interested in your own good. But if you want to advance on the positive path, the light path, you need to be in service, whether you're giving readings or offering a magazine, a spiritual magazine, or delivering the
you
pizza.
You have me thinking about when I was a little girl that, and I'm not saying I'm one of them, but...
Probably are.
But my parents were just parents. My mother didn't pay any attention to me.
Mm.
The lady that I used to co-host, she used to co-host my show with me, Maya. We became like sisters. We were just, you know, she sent me blankets and my giraffe. And anyways, not a real giraffe, but you know.
Yeah.
She told me by my story from when I was a little girl. I was alone all the time. I would read. My friends would walk by my house and go across the street. And I never really knew why, and it didn't bother me. It was okay, because I had stuff that I wanted to do. So I was alone a lot. Both parents worked. I was an only child, but I was far from spoiled. So she said to me, you know what I think? And I said, oh, I don't know. She says, I think you were just placed with your parents. She said, I know your story. We've talked enough, and she was a medium. She says, I know enough about you. And she said, I asked myself this question. She was an only child. She should have had everything in the world. Both parents worked, okay, and all of that,
yeah.
But she didn't. And she said to me, what I want to know is, why did you not turn out to be such a bitch?
Yeah.
On wheels. She said, because if you think about it, and I've had, she said, a lot of psychology. She said, people like this, girls especially, even boys, she said, that they end up being really resentful. And then they start thinking, oh, me, because I didn't have it when I was little. She said, you are just the opposite. She said, you do the radio show for nothing. You do the magazine for nothing. And she passed away. It will be 3 years. And she kept telling me this, and I said, well, I don't know. I'm telling you, she said, you were just placed with your parents, and I think, because she thought God had visited me when I almost died, she said, I think you had some archangels with you. That's what was helping you along. Not your mother and dad, because they were just like surrogates. They were not, you know. And you're bringing this up, and I'm thinking about, as a little girl, I was fine. I never cried about anything. I did my own thing. I read lots of books. I daydreamed all the time.
Yeah.
And I still do it.
Yes.
So I'm not saying I'm a wanderer.
You may be a wanderer. There are 80 million of you around on the earth.
And I am of service. My son says
exactly.
to me, Mother, you do too much for everybody. When are you going to start thinking of yourself? I said, but it's good to be kind and loving and want to help.
Yes.
He says, but Mother, you go overboard. I can't help it. That's how I am.
Yeah.
But he's just like me.
Aw.
Yeah, sweet. Anyways, that's my story.
Yeah,
I don't know. You got me really thinking about what Maya had said to me. She says, I just think you're replaced with them. I really do.
Well,
no.
Maya,
and then God
totally
visited me
right.
when I almost died in 1982.
What was that like?
Well, I got a virus that attacked my whole body. It wasn't just the lungs. It was my whole body. I couldn't even stand. I didn't want to talk. I couldn't stand. I went to the doctors. He said, I could put you in the hospital. He said, but knowing you, you won't go. I said, no. I'll come to see you every day.
Wow.
So he made a pact with me, and I had 2 injections every day, and months of it. And I really couldn't go outside. He didn't want me to be exposed to anything, anybody. You stay in the
wow.
house. You know, and he said to my husband then, when he was alive, he said, she doesn't do a thing. I'm telling you, a thing. She has not to do anything. I love that.
Yeah.
But if all I would do is lay and look up at the ceiling. People would bring me stuff to read, and I had no desire for anything. I just
Whoa.
Existed at that time.
How did you
And I had a lot of injections, and a few years later, there were 2 doctors who were handling my case, if you want to call it, and the one said to me, we didn't know if you were going to make it because we had there was nothing we could do for you, not one thing.
Wow.
Not one thing. But, you know, they took like, 5 big vials of blood from me at that time to diagnose what was going on. And he came in the room and he said, I have to show you this. There was only one other man in that whole area in Detroit that was faced with something similar. He said, your numbers are just off the chart.
Wow.
And he looked at me and I said, well, that can't be good. He said, well, no, it's not. He said, but we have a plan. And that was all they could do for me. And the rest was left to God.
And God visited you?
Huh? Yeah.
And God visited you?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. Maya had told me this too before, and then I heard it another time. But I was sleeping. I woke up. I sat up, and I looked around, and my room was glowing like a yellow golden color. It was beautiful.
Oh.
It was just beautiful, Susan. And I looked at the ceiling, I looked out, I thought, well, there's no lights on. Where's this coming from? I blinked my eyes. You know how you're trying to cover your
yeah.
eyes and say, this can't be real, I must be dreaming. And I looked behind the wall, and it was about 6 or 7 feet high. It was a huge crystal. That's
wow.
where the glow was coming from. That
wow.
crystal. Now, you know, I'm sure it was for massive healing, but I didn't have to see it. I did have to see it to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I really didn't have to. If it was just to heal me, that would have been fine. I mean, I wouldn't need to know
yeah.
anything. And Maya told me, she said, I was 32 then. She said, I think that was a visit from God. I think it was because
yeah.
my son was already 15. Yeah, he was 15. So he really, you know, I didn't have to hover over him and all that. So set me
right.
on my path to start to think about spirituality and everything, but that's, I only saw it one time. And you know what? It was the strangest thing, and I've said this before. As soon as I recognized it to be real, I put my head back down on the pillow and I went to sleep.
Wonderful.
You would have thought, knowing me, I should have sat up all night and watched it.
Yeah,
but
you knew
didn't.
It was there to save you, to heal
you. I knew it was there, and I believed it, and that's all I needed to know.
The healing
I fell back
rays.
To sleep.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah,
you let
time.
It do its work because it was all the healing energy
yep.
coming from it. Crystals are
mm-hmm.
beings. I read
yep.
a lot about that. Crystals are beings with consciousness,
yep.
and they
mm-hmm.
can be programmed.
Well, she thought at first, she said, well, maybe it was just an archangel, she said. But it was something very high and mighty, she said, because,
yeah.
and, you know, when I interviewed
just
her to work
an
on my
archangel.
Site.
Oh, my God.
It was
amazing.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she said to me when I interviewed her, she said, don't tell me anything. I'm going to tell you. You had a
yeah.
very special visit.
Yeah.
And of course
someone
I did.
Was looking out for you, wanted you to live, to do your work,
right.
do your
right.
service to others.
And I didn't even know what I was doing at that time. I mean,
right.
I was kind of stepping into the field a little, you know,
yeah.
working with others and that, but I didn't know I would be doing all of this, no. And I
yeah.
still don't think that this is enough. There's got to be more. I don't know what else I can do. But I do know what I love. I love talking to people like you.
You're a good little talker, even though you're grown up now. You're still the good little talker you were in elementary school.
Yeah.
Wow.
Those teachers are probably looking at me saying, see, I told you. I told you about her.
Yeah. It's wonderful that you weren't afraid when you saw the light and the crystal.
No, I wasn't at all.
Yeah.
You know, most people would have been afraid. Like, what is this? It must be something from outer space.
I knew
it was something really special because the whole room was glowing, and it was a very powerful light coming from it.
Yeah, it was a healing.
And
energy.
It was like it was in August in Michigan. So you know, it was. But
so
I never saw it again.
From a higher dimension was trying to protect you because they wanted you to live, you know, and it could have been some element of the dark side that gave you the virus because they don't want wanderers to live. You know, the Dark Lords of Orion want to, that's part of the story in my books, they tried to kill the wanderers.
I have to get your books now, see, because you've piqued my interest.
In various ways. Yeah, they're trying to kill you guys.
Okay,
this unusual virus.
Yes, it was. You know, and it wasn't like a pandemic or anything. It was just me and this other man.
Yeah.
He thought, my doctors thought, I probably got it because I didn't go very many places. I wasn't even working at the time. Because I was working at a Y, but then they closed the tennis house in the summertime. So I wasn't working then. And my doctor
said...
So where
did you get it?
Well, we don't really know. We didn't know, I should say. He said to me, where do you usually go? And I told him we always go to this restaurant because we really like the girl, the three of us. My son and my husband did not get sick. He said, well... The only thing I can think of, he said, it could have come from a glass.
Uh-huh.
You know, he said it could have had something so small on the edge and it entered your body when you drank from it. He said you might, even if you would have looked at, held it up. Yes, he said.
It could have come from an attack by the Dark Lords who always want to kill wanderers. They want wanderers. They don't want wanderers here. So they try to kill them so that they can't give people the message that they're all divine. Because the
there was divine intervention for me, I can tell you that much. There really was.
Yeah.
I mean, I recovered, of course, very well, as a matter of fact.
You recovered because of the intervention of a master of light or an archangel or something. And that's who protects wanderers. The archangels and the masters of light, the masters of the seven rays of light, protect wanderers. And I write about things like what happened to you, how the wanderers, the eight wanderers in the story, come under attack in various ways by the Dark Lords who try to make it look like a germ on a glass or some natural thing, but they try to kill them. And then the masters of light use colored light, healing rays, scalar waves from the absolute of different colors. And yellow and gold are two of them. Like plain yellow would be the ray of illumination, Lord Lanto. But a golden ray, that comes
beautiful.
From Jesus. Jesus, it's called the resurrection flame, and it resurrects the dead and dying. And that flame is wielded by Lord Sananda and Lady Nada, who, when they were incarnate on Earth, were known as Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And their flame is the resurrection flame, and it's golden and purple. So it sounds like this golden light was the resurrection flame that was channeled to you to resurrect you when you lay dying. So beautiful, because the masters of light do intervene to save the wanderers so that they can do their work to help all humans.
I didn't get into this, you know, not right away. It took a while. I started my first site, and then, I mean, I was hooked. I was hooked by computers, period. And but this, what I do, talking to people like yourself and the magazine and intervening for people that I, how I do, and, you know, it's really funny. People say to me, Natalie, talk to God and ask him. I said, well, you talk to him. No, you talk to him. He listens to you. Mm. I said, well, I, you know, of course I will talk. I talk to him every day. And I talk to my friend Maya every day. She's the one that co-hosted with
she
me.
She transitioned, three years ago.
She would listen to me, too. I said, tell my people that ask me, you know, clients and people that I've met online, ask God. Ask God. I said, well, all you have to do is ask and say thank you.
Yes.
I mean, but I talk every day to him.
Me too.
Every single day. Sometimes, and there's a lady listening tonight, she's heard this before, sometimes it's almost like a dissertation because I'm not happy with what's going on. And so I'll say, you know what? Enough is enough. Now we need to knock this all off. We need to get rid of it because this is causing too much turmoil. But I also know that sometimes things like this have to happen to make a big change. And sometimes
and
it's like a comeuppance.
To help people wake up. Because
it's a comeuppance. Exactly. Exactly,
what,
Susan.
Yeah.
I told people it's always been about the money when I've been on the air. Well, God looks around and says, okay, I can fix all this real quick.
Yeah.
Now you have to love each other and do for each other because each other is all you have. You
well,
don't have that
created,
money that you have.
Yes.
That's what I think.
This bug, one bug to unite us all, has been an opportunity for people to be of service to one another. And it turned everything upside down. Like suddenly, I don't know about where you are, but in New York City, the heroes became the bus drivers, the pizza delivery men, the boys in the grocery store washing the lettuce, all the workers who didn't get to stay home, who had to go out and risk their lives and maybe end up in the refrigerator truck. I mean, we had refrigerator trucks all over this city, and sometimes you'd walk in the street and you would see someone hugging a refrigerator truck, and you knew that someone they loved was in there.
It was just awful.
Never thought you would live... It was so scary here in New York last March, April, May, June. And yet these brave people, the bus drivers, the subway drivers, the grocery store clerks, the people delivering the pizza,
the police, the firefighters,
the police and the firefighters have often been heroes, but these other people were lifted up, you know, these ordinary working people who ran the subway.
They just came and they did. That's it. They knew what they had to do.
They didn't even think about it. They just did it. Right. They were essential. The Wall Street banksters were not essential. Nobody needed them. They could stay home in their fat cat places. But these other people got out and did the work, and they were of service. And that's how you advance in the third dimension, toward God, toward home, by being of service to your fellow human beings, whether you're running an animal shelter or, you know, checking people out in the grocery store. That's what I do.
I help people in the stores when I go there once every 3 or 4 weeks, and, you know, I'll see somebody kind of fumbling around, and sometimes they're not older. A lot of times they are, and I just go, can I help you with something?
Yeah.
She said, well, do you work here? No. One lady said, you're an angel. You know that, don't you? And I said, well, I like to help people. And I do that all the time.
You should say, something like that. I'm actually a wanderer. But it's very close to angels, but it's a wanderer.
You just can't see the wings I have.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd probably flip them out. But I've done that many, many. I have talked about that. Even when Maya was on the show, I would say, do things under grace. You just have to. In my Instagram, I say, believe.
Yes.
Just Just trust. Believe.
Yeah.
I'll keep preaching until I can't preach anymore.
Yes.
Don't preach to the choir.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what I do. I love doing that. I really do. I get satisfaction from it. I'm okay monetarily. You know, my husband died. He died in 2012, so it's going to be 9 years. And he left me okay. I mean, you know, I have his retirement and his Social Security. I'm fine. I'm still paying out my house, but I'm fine.
You've had a lot of loss, your husband and Maya.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maya was the worst of all when she died.
Well,
yeah,
older,
I mean, I knew she was sick. I talked to her the night before.
What happened to her?
Well, she had COPD.
Oh.
And I talked to her husband that day that she passed away later on because he wanted to talk to me because he knew her and I were very close. And he told me, he said, she got pneumonia and then she had a heart attack.
Oh, my God. You weren't expecting her to die.
No, but we talked, and he told me, he said, she wasn't telling you everything. She was sick, and she wasn't telling me. I mean, she really wasn't, and I don't know why. Maybe she didn't want me to worry. Maybe she was very spiritual also, and, you know, I don't know. You know, she chose the topics that we would talk about, you know, angels, archangels, all different kinds of things. They're all in Blog Talk Radio, every one of them from the beginning. And I said, well, Maya, I don't know anything about that. You'll do fine. And she said to me, you can talk about it even if you don't know about it. It'll come out. You will be able to talk on it. And she was always right. I never stumbled. I don't know where it came from, but I was able to do it.
You were channeling the information. You needed it.
Yeah, it's
your
true.
Your guides
were
giving it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, she was saying, she'd say something, you know, whatever the topic was, something, oh, we talked about the shadow people. Oh, it was, every week she would choose the topic. And that's when I write to her, shadow people, what are those? Oh, you know, she said, you'll know. And pretty soon I'm talking, she says, you know, you've seen them. I said, well, you know, I have, but I didn't really know what they were. I mean, I see things, but I mostly hear, and I don't hear all the time. I can't. I'm not like you. My area is not, you know, I'll hear a phone ring once. I heard, like, the shuffling of something when I woke up the other day, but nobody's there. I have a cat. He wasn't shuffling anything.
Yeah.
He's a big cat. I mean, you know. I've heard knocks at the door. You know, I hear things, but I don't hear words.
Yeah. We all have our own style of how they communicate with us.
Yeah. So it was just, I mean, I could talk. And we talk to each other after the show. And she says, I thought you said you couldn't talk about that. I said, well, I did. She says, I told you. She said, you can talk on anything. She said, because you just can and you don't hesitate. I did recordings, you know, for some radio shows, and my one girlfriend would listen. She says, you don't go, all of that. She said, you just flow with the words, and I do.
Because
it's called the gift of gab, and that's why I got into so much trouble in school.
Well, in school, that might have been why you got in trouble, but maybe when you're doing your show, you're channeling information on things you might not have known about, but your channel opens, and the information just comes through you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
and you
but
don't
anyway,
even realize.
No, maybe I am
a wanderer. Yeah, a wanderer.
Wanderers
on Earth.
Yeah, wanderer. I never heard of that before. I have to get your books now, sir. I do.
You already.
I can't get them from Gavin because Gavin, he's supposed to always send me books and he never does because you know. It's where he is. He's in Wales, and it's really difficult. And he's got his hands in so many things. So, that's okay.
Well,
I'll get them.
I will get your address and send them to you because I'm in America.
You have a publisher, right?
Yeah, I can send them to you. My publisher's in England, but I one of the printers is in America, so I can send them to you.
Oh, awesome. Okay, I'll send you an email. But anyway, let's get back to you.
Send me an email with your address.
Yes, I'll give you my address. Now, your first book was When Every Breath Becomes a Prayer. I love that.
Yes. I wrote that when my sister was dying because I was praying for her at night, and she was dying in the summer and it was hot, and I was breathing next to the screen in the window and praying, and I didn't even know whether I was breathing or praying, or sometimes what room I was in, because it was very hard to let her go, my younger sister. So that book was about loss and sorrow, because my husband had just left me. My daughter had gone through a very rough period, and my sister was dying, and so I felt like there's so much loss. And that book was not channeled. That book was just a book that I used to teach myself how to write because I didn't know how to write. But that book was about...
Yeah, I know the feeling.
How heartbreak teaches you. The heartbreak of being abandoned. My father died, my mother died, my sister died, my daughter had a serious breakdown, and my husband left me in the middle of all of it. And I was in a lot of spiritual confusion and pain, and pain is a great teacher. And so I wrote that book to just write myself out of the place of confusion and heartbreak and sorrow, and to teach myself to write, and so that I could write, so that I could open my channel and write this trilogy that I'd been hearing for 10 years that I was supposed to write, because then a third person, an Australian shaman, the daughter of an Aborigine, said, look, she was the Archangel channel, and she said, look, it's time. They're going to give you this stuff. You've done the practice book, When Every Breath Becomes a Prayer. Now it's time to write the stuff that you incarnated to write. This was your mission. You were put here to be a scribe. Now scribe. Now write.
Yeah.
And she said, I can see you in other eras, on Earth and on other planets, and you've always been a scribe, and you've waited a long time, because I didn't start writing till I was in my 60s. So it's good I got to it. She said, you know, they're endlessly patient, but you should get to it. You should get to it. And the river will never stop flowing through you if you'll just allow it. So the first two books of the trilogy, Mission from Venus, where the wanderers are training, and The Wanderers on Earth, where the wanderers are here and living among humans and being of service, they're published. But the third book I've been writing now for the past year, and I've got another year to go, because during COVID, I got caught in, trapped myself in a lot of fear, that because so many people around me were dying every day in New York City, that I just...
I can only imagine what that was like for you.
Yeah,
that must have been awful.
Choked up for everybody, you know. So I just, kind of got a little frozen. So by last fall, I started to feel loosened up again and started writing again. But I can't write every day because I'm still working. Books don't make any money, so... I mean, Abraham would say, don't say that. But in any case, I make my living now still as a psychologist, so I have to do that. So I do that Monday through Friday, and then I write on the weekends, or I write in the morning when I come back from walking the dog. I have a dog and two cats, and, you know, they're wonderful, funny, delightful company.
I have a cat, a big cat.
I
He's
love
main
cats. Love
oh,
cats.
Oh,
wonderful.
He is the boss. I tell everybody that. He's the boss.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he still hisses. He's probably 10 years old. He hisses at my son when he comes, and he's seen my son umpteen times. My son said to me, why do you think? And I said, well, first of all, you always take your shoes off because I have carpeting that's pretty new, Well, yeah. He takes his shoes off. I said, it's kind of like he looks at you and says, don't take your shoes off. Don't get comfy. You're not staying. This is my mom. This is my house. Aww. And it's the truth. That's how he looks at you. Don't go near my house.
Because he knows you love your son, and he
does, yeah, he doesn't like it. He wants me just to love
share
him.
Uh-oh. And you do love him.
We know each other so well.
They are our teachers. They are our teachers.
Yeah.
The most
you know, you were talking about your parents and about not, I don't know, being, I thought about this, not being attached. My parents died less than 5 months apart of each other.
Wow.
And you know, I did not cry. I did not cry once.
Wow, because you weren't attached to them. You were free.
No.
Yeah. Cause they
and it's become, it's more and more making more and more sense to me. And, you know, I'm home alone. I've always been alone. You know, I mean, I've worked in places before, of course, but I find myself, I have days that I'm out of sorts. I'm just out of sorts. It's hard to explain to people. Mm. Sometimes I don't get excited about doing something. Like, you know, you get, oh, God, I got to get to this. I got to get to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody knows I have a fairy tale that I started writing. It's a beautiful story.
Oh.
And I've been told many times, you need to finish it.
Yeah.
And it is. It's about believing. It really
is. Yes.
But
we're so free when we believe in the divine.
Well,
in miracles.
It's true.
Miracles happen all the time.
Yeah, you know, you chose to come on my show because you wanted to. I mean, I didn't beg you. You know,
no.
And Gavin didn't say, oh, you've got to do this. You know, and you already listened to a show, so you knew what I was about. But I had a man come on, and he's pretty well known, and he said, I just loved your energy.
Yeah.
He said, I just knew it would be good. He said, you know, you could talk the whole hour yourself. And so when people don't show, I've had people kind of be late or something, and they'll find myself talking. I have to do all the talking, and I'll just say, you got to listen to me because it's all we have. It's me.
Yeah.
But I love what I do. I really do. I need to work on this book. It won't be real long. It's certainly not like anything that you write that I don't think it will be. I mean, see, you don't know when I've started it, but you don't know when I pick it back up again now because the timing will be right, what I'll end up doing with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll just sit at my word and type away. That's what I'll
do. When you feel moved,
yeah,
just do it. Just do
yeah.
it. And you will have divine helpers. You'll have divine helpers.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Now, the Wanderers on Earth, Volume 2, you've done that. You're on Volume 3 now. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, now I'm on Volume 3, the third and last book of the trilogy. That's the one I'm writing now, slowly.
So does that seem to be going easier? I mean,
no.
You've already written two, or is it more difficult? But you're channeling all this information, right?
Yeah,
more difficult.
But I think it's more difficult because when I froze up, you know, during the beginning of COVID, I just shut down my channel. So it took me a while to open up, and now it's flowing again.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's flowing again. And I've sort of prayed to, like, be less fearful because there's love and there's fear, and to just move into love. And when I can get in the vibration of unity and love, then it just pours through me. And I just sit at the computer, and I see the images, or the ideas just plow through, or they may correct a word here and there, but I feel their presence moving through my psyche, and I write. So
yeah.
But this book has been harder to give birth to because of me, not them. They've been ready for 50 years. I was the slowpoke who was afraid and didn't know that I was supposed to do it, even though I was told 3 times really seriously. Finally, I did it. And I'm really glad that I was able to do my mission that I came to Earth for. but I have to finish it. I'm not done. I'm 73 now, so I want to get on with it, and maybe there are other books.
Well, I hope so.
We'll see if more come. Because I actually enjoy it when I'm doing it, and I feel their presence.
So you just sit at your computer and you start to type? Is that what you do?
Yeah, I sit at my computer and start to type.
Okay, so you don't do it longhand, you just type.
I don't do it longhand, I just type. I did it longhand for the first book, and then I had to type it all into the computer, and then I realized it would flow through me just as well using the computer, that I didn't need to write it longhand.
Yeah. Yep. That's
so
true.
So then I...
Because I think when you do longhand... You'll go back and reread. Well, you can reread it on the computer when you do it. But it's just something about when you write something.
Yeah.
You look back at it because you, and it's just easy. And I think sitting there, you can do. It's almost like automatic writing. It's automatic typing.
Yeah.
So you can just.
It's been a great gift in my life to finally realize that I was supposed to channel these books. And like for you, you're supposed to finish your fairy tale, and you just have to be in the right headspace to let the information flow through you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, maybe
it's
sometimes
true.
I pray before I write, you know, and I suggest that only positive energies can be coming through, and I put myself in a bubble of light for protection, so then I can safely open up to what's coming, and I don't have to be afraid of negative energy.
You know, you've explained to me an awful lot about how my life was up until now.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully.
You're here on a mission. You're here on a mission, and you're doing it. You're doing it
just,
with your
show
and your magazine and being a
mother. Yeah, well, you know,
on
the magazine, everybody knows I want to do it into a real magazine. And I will. I have to be, it's a lot, it's a learning process, and it's not something that I don't want to learn. I mean, I know a lot of it now. But it's just, you know, you go off into something new and it's a little scary. When you, I mean, you can learn from the people that sell the software. They have all kinds of people that will help you, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I pick everybody's brain. I'm not afraid to talk to anybody. And they don't even know that, but I'm not. Mm. But anyways, I get them to answer questions and they go into this long detailed stuff and I'm sitting there thinking, boy, I sure asked the right question, didn't I? But sometimes you got to play dumb. Which I'm not. But you know what I'm saying? I know more than they think I do. And so I have to kind of, well, gee, how do you do this? I really don't understand. Oh, then they'll send me all these links and now go here and tell me if you get this. And I mean, it's amazing. If you don't have to play stupid and you don't have to play dumb, but if you don't know it, just say, I don't know how to do this. That's
Many
how I learned how to do bookkeeping.
Want to help, you know?
Yeah.
Many
you'll find people that want to help you. You really will. And I'm going to
People are basically good.
And I'm going to, you know, want to insert this here that my son and I were talking about this. If you are nice to people and tell them have a great day, thanks for all your help, and you, their words of meaning, they're going to do cartwheels on your lawn.
Everybody
responds, even if they're crabs when they answer the phone. Haven't you ever tested it? You'll get somebody who's like not very nice on the phone, and they don't know who they're dealing with, right? So, I mean, then I just say, well, gee, that was so nice of you to do this for me. I'll wait. Thank you. And then they come back and they've changed their attitude.
Yeah. People just want to be appreciated and loved.
Right.
They want you to give them a smile, give them a kind word.
Right, that's what this has all been about. You and I agree on that. I said this for months. It's a comeuppance for the world is what it is.
Yeah.
It really, really is.
A chance for people to help one another.
And get to know people that are not in their immediate environment. Step out of that.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I'm always offering help. If, you know, it's just what I am. I've always done that. Except when I was a little girl, I was alone all the time.
Oh.
And I didn't miss a beat, and it didn't bother me at all.
Wow.
Because, you know, I would say, well, what did it feel like when the girls didn't come and get you and your girlfriends? I said, I'd look at them, and I'd turn around, and I'd go get a book, or I'd go sit outside. I put my music on in my bedroom. I love music. I listen to music all the time. said to me, didn't it bother you? I said, no, not at all. I never cried. I never, no.
Whoa.
Because, Susan, there was something else for me to do, not go outside and play with dolls.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There was another purpose for me.
Yeah.
There was another purpose for me. And I've always wanted to fly a plane. And my dad took me to the airport every Saturday when the weather was nice. And my girlfriend, one girlfriend would say, why do you want to go to the airport? I said, well, why do you want to play with dolls?
Mm.
That shut her up. And I told
you
my
wanted
daddy
to fly because you're a wanderer. Or an
I
angel.
Wanted to see what it was like.
Yeah.
And I asked everybody questions on that. It wasn't a base. It wasn't like an Army or a Navy, but it was where they kept the single engine planes, and the commercial ones were at the, this was at, it was called Detroit City Airport, and then there was Detroit Metropolitan. Well, I was at City Airport, and I asked everybody, my father would roll his eyes, and I said to him, well, why are you rolling your eyes? He said, oh, my God, you asked so many questions. I said, well, how am I going to learn?
Mm.
I want to learn. I want to know.
Mm.
That's how I found out everything.
Wow.
That was something. I dress up in my finest, Susan, and
yeah.
Just strut my little self around everybody and ask them questions. And everybody answered me because they thought I was, oh, she's so cute. Well, little did they know. I was after what they knew. I wanted to know.
And they were happy to share.
Oh, absolutely, every one of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. And no, I have never flown. Unless the divine has something for me to do, and I will not turn my back on it because I love learning things. I love new things and I love to help just like you, Susan, just like you. We are of the same, you and I. I want to tell everybody about your website. We're here talking so much. It's Susan, SusanPlunkett.com. I'm going to bring it up. I already did earlier today because this is what I like to do. I like to go and see what you're about. And I have the sheet about it, but I don't. I like to see it with my eyes, you know.
Yeah.
I really, really do. Okay, so now, which was your favorite to write so far?
I think The Wanderers on Earth was my favorite to write.
Wow. Yeah, that makes kind of sense. Yeah.
Enjoyed that one the most. And, you know, you don't need to read Mission from Venus to understand Wanderers on Earth. They stand alone. It's kind of like Mission from Venus is the prequel to Wanderers on Earth. Like in Star Wars, we had the prequels. But initially, we just had the Star Wars, and then we learned the backstory. Mission from Venus is kind of the backstory for Wanderers on Earth, because Mission from Venus takes place on Venus in the fifth dimension, where they're training to come to Earth. But you can read that before you read Wanderers. You can just read Wanderers. You don't have to read Mission from Venus to get Wanderers. Wanderers is a little bit more fun, a little bit more magical.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I will let you be the judge of what I should get. Let's put it that way.
No, I don't have any Mission from Venus, but I have When Every Breath Becomes a Prayer, and I have Wanderers, and
okay.
I can send you those if you email me your address.
I will.
I have copies of those.
You know I will. You
but
know
if
I will.
Listening wants them, they're all on Amazon.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I'll get the links and I'll put them in the Akashic Bookstore so that I don't really, I might make a penny off of it, whatever it is. But it's just another way to help.
Yes, it's a great way to help. Thank you.
Well, you know, I wish everybody was like you and I. Unfortunately, they're not. They always step back and they don't want to do things, or they think about it. Don't think about it. Just do it. If it's not going to hurt you, do it. You know, I often thought what would be really cool is if I had a lot of money to go in a store, because sometimes I'll see these really, really old people that can barely walk, and maybe VIB behind them, and I just pay for their stuff. I would love to do that for somebody.
I would love to do that.
I bet you're gonna
do that soon. I bet you are. I bet you're gonna.
I got this. I can do it. Because money is just, it's paper and coin, and yes, it can do things, but it can also do things for other people if you have the ability to do that.
Yes.
I always tell people, wish I had a magic wand, I'd fix all this.
Another
one
service.
Sweep.
It's another service, you know.
Yeah. One sweep, I just wave it and it'll be all done, all fixed, all good. We're all good to go now. I would love to do that. I would love to be able to help more. Well, you just never know what's in store for you.
We each do what we can.
Yes. And especially, and you'll sit back and you'll say, gee, that was really great. I love doing that. I want to do it again. I want to do something else again. And you will.
Yeah.
You will. I taught my little friend how to ride her two-wheel bike. I did it. She said, can you hold it up? I just thought of that. I said, oh, yeah, I can do that. So she's riding along, and all of a sudden I let go, and there she was, riding her two-wheel bike.
Wow.
And she says, are you behind me? Oh, no. I'm not holding the bike up. You're riding. I remember doing that now. You're just bringing back so much to me, these little triggers. Oh,
yes.
It's strange.
Yes.
You're wonderful.
Yeah. And you are, too. You're delightful.
Well, I certainly try. And, I've got my one site that I keep working at it, trying to make more money for these people that sit on there and try to make, to do show their tools, their gifts that they have. And it's just really tough. People are struggling just to put food on the table, pay the rent and all of that. So, what I say to everybody is just hang in there.
It's getting better. It's going to be getting
better.
Well,
it is getting better. Yes, it's going to get better. Yes. I mean, I know it. You know it, and I know it. They might not think so, but we know it will.
Yes.
And
have faith.
Yes. And believe, right?
Yes.
Anyways, her site is SusanPlunkett.com. Go to it. She's got this beautiful page. It's the entrance. It's like walking down. I'm going to go to it again so I can see it because I had moved around a little bit. You're walking down this path. It might be a road because it looks like a vehicle could go down there, and you're surrounded by, looks like fall. Was this taken in the fall?
Yes.
And it's like it's embracing you. That's how I feel.
Inviting you on a journey.
Absolutely. It's you feel really good. Even though you know the colors are not all green, you just feel really good about it. And, I've said this before, covers of books and sites are very important. And a book, I won't even look at a book unless I like the cover. It doesn't matter what's in it. I have to like the cover. Isn't that strange?
No,
and
I feel
like
that
feel,
too.
And I like the feel of books. I like how they feel.
Yeah. Some on Kindle, but I like to read them. I like to hold
I like the book. Sometimes, somebody will say, publicist will say, well, I have it in PDF. Nope, I want the book. I like to hold the book.
Yeah.
I want the book in my hands.
Yeah.
Old-fashioned, maybe, but I like that. I think, and it makes for good read, I think. It's really, that's what I like. Absolutely. So, we've come to over our hour, but, I just love talking to you.
And you too. And I wish you so many blessings, my friend and wanderer. And don't forget to send me your address, and I will send you when every breath of the prayer and wanderers, because I happen to have copies of those.
I will.
Okay.
And maybe after you finish this next book, sometime later in the year, we're going to have you back on again.
All right.
So you can tell us about the third one. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah, I don't even know what they're going to tell me to write yet. I mean, I've written some of it, but I don't know yet because they haven't downloaded it all. But we'll see what they say.
Yes. But I have all the information, and you're in my big book here. It's a pretty good-sized book. Actually, the book is look at all the magic around you. That's what the it's on the cover.
Oh.
It's called the Happy Planner, and
yes.
That's the one I chose. That's the one I chose. And then I've got something
good.
Here on my computer. It says, I am watching for today's miracles.
Boy, you can say that again every single day.
That's
I'm
right.
I can say it every day, too.
That's right. That's right.
Natalie, thank you so much.
Thank you for wanting to do this, and we'll do this again, and I will, as soon as we get off the air, I will send my information to you, and I'll be so excited.
Many blessings to you and all your listeners.
Oh, yes,
and
thank you.
And to your big cat and your son.
My big Maine Coon, yes.
Yeah,
he's got a big M on his forehead. That means he's a monster. That's what M on his forehead means, monster.
Well, God
I had a friend tell me
too.
That. Isn't that funny? But he's not a monster to me. He's sweet. He's a sweet boy. He's a sweet boy to me. Anyways, I just love you, and I can't wait to talk to you again.
All right. Thank you, Natalie. Have a wonderful evening.
You too,
sweetie. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. Well, with that, we're going to close out the show here. Definitely play Free to Love. You know, that's Candy's music. Yes. Anyways, who do I have next week? Oh, no, it's going to be a regular one of these days. And we're going to have a real early show because they're coming from other countries. But I'll keep you posted on that. And always go to stars with a Z, psychics.com. I can actually put it on Mystic Living today, and I keep forgetting to do it, but it's always on stars. It'll tell you at the top right corner who I'm having in the time, if it's going to be an earlier time or whatever. But I want everybody to stay safe. Don't let your guard down. Be careful. You've got to stay healthy and well so you can do all the beautiful work that you're doing. And you can help a lot of people need you, and you have to keep doing this, okay? So that's my little talk to you. Be safe, please. Okay, so with that, I'm going to end the show like I always do, and that is believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, we're going to play Free to Love. Here it comes. Thank you, Candy.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors.